cliffcentral.com. Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on cliffcentral.com.
Right, folks, good morning. Welcome to Auto Central, your trusted, well, brought to you by Auto Trader, your trusted motoring marketplace.
That's the one.
That's the one.
It's your power hour.
It's your motoring power. That's it, man. Jeez, I totally cocked that up this morning. Sorry. So let's try that
again.
Are
you disturbed by the...
Welcome to Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader, your trusted motoring marketplace.
It's just one of those Mondays.
Yeah, just one of those Mondays. You see, it's because I came in a car this morning and I sat in traffic and it's thrown me off my game.
You hate cars, bruh.
I don't hate them.
You just hate traffic.
They're inconvenient at certain points in time.
Yes.
Because you've got this big piece of metal and you're using only that little space that you're sitting on.
Yeah.
So a bike is the way to go.
Telling you, my man, scooters.
But you know what?
The way of the future.
So how was your weekend, buddy?
My weekend was good, but just so that you know, if you want to join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter at AutoTraderSA, and remember to use the hashtag AutoCentral. Got quite a decent lineup today. We're waiting for an in-studio guest, Dennis Klopper from Kyle Army, who's coming in to chat a little bit about the Kyle Army Motorsports Festival that's happening this weekend. Apparently, I had a meeting with the guys last week. Ticket sales are doing pretty well for South Africa. You know, we always lastminute.com.
Yeah.
they've had over 400 entries for the races and stuff. It's going
Lovely.
To be the biggest.
That's not
it's the biggest field ever. They've broken the record. They've smashed it. So Dennis will touch on that a little bit later.
I just hope it's something that's sustainable, you know, that's it's all good and well having it as a start because everybody's keen to get onto track. You know, the first race at Kyle Army or the new Kyle Army, you know, let's get there. Oh, it's going to be this massive big festival and that. And then after a while, it starts waning off, you know, and petering because now it's almost lost the novelty effect of it. So I'm hoping that it retains it by drawing good crowds and they say, and everybody understands that the reason why it is such a success, should it be such a success, is that it was a combination of a multitude of things.
Yes.
That it was the big racing fields, and it was the big racing fields that brought the big crowds, that brought the big media, and the big media helped bring it all back, and that they all worked together and understand that without my part in the game, the rest of the game falls flat.
Yeah.
And it's the same for each and every person. Mm. They all need to do their little bit. The inclusion of family, you know, you've got to have competitors, otherwise you don't have a race. You've got to have spectators, otherwise there's no point in racing. You know, you've got to have a little bit of media backing because, well, you know, you need to publicize it and to reach new people so that it can continually grow. As soon as one of those parties starts pulling out of it, then it starts falling and starts falling flat again. We've seen that happen a number of times. So I really hope that it maintains the momentum.
I think it will, and we'll wait for Dennis to come in and we can maybe unpack that a little bit more. But I want to bring some awesome, awesome news. So I don't know if you've heard of the New Generation Awards.
Yeah, Generation TX or Generation X Awards, I think.
Be the Generation Next Awards. Sunday Times used to do the Gen Next.
That still happens. Anyway, so basically, I'm just going to read an email quickly. So this was sent to Julia, who heads up all of our social media at Auto Trader. And this is a punt for her and her team, who Chad is a part of. But anyway, last night, Auto Trader's 99 cents new car walked away with the silver award for the best online competition at the prestigious New Generation Awards.
Wow.
So a feather in the cap to the team. That's cool, you know, the best online competition category recognizes online competitions that form part of an overall strategy of the company, making use of digital possibilities in the area in a creative and innovative way. So well done to the
team.
And
it really was. I mean, it was a fantastic, fantastic campaign, the likes of which we haven't seen before.
Correct.
It was really interactive. It wasn't one of those that you could just pitch up at the last minute and win it.
You had to
work
for it.
You had to work for it. You had to use the site. And at the end of it, it got narrowed down to good old-fashioned luck.
100%. You know? No, exactly.
So, but I mean, and then your skills could only take you so far, and then you still had to be a little bit lucky.
Yeah.
You know, and
and then you get to buy a car for 99 cents.
That is the best part, bro.
Brand new car, but out the box, 99 cents.
Sure.
What Gabriella paid for it last year.
Fantastic. Talking about new cars and secondhand cars.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing some work for the show.
You know some people.
He hasn't even brought you coffee yet.
Yes, Ty, you were saying?
You sent me a little bit of detail for the runner today, which I'm very, very happy about. So, tell us. I said in the show runner, what should come standard in all vehicles? Let's unpack that quickly.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, you know these small and size spare wheels?
Yeah.
The Mari biscuits.
No, those things are pointless, bro.
I agree.
Because now you must do like 60 Ks an hour, or you can't do more than 80 Ks an hour. And I'll say, imagine you are stuck in the middle of Kakamas.
Yeah.
You get a flat tire there. Now you must drive another 200 Ks to get help, or 100 Ks to get in that little thing. You were fully loaded because you were preparing for a full trip, yes, with your family and everything else that you've packed in. So the weight on that little thing is already a problem.
Let me play devil's advocate here. And let me say, you just said you'd what? Fully loaded, fully packed?
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have bought that car if it had a full-size spare wheel, because it wouldn't have had the boot space.
But I still think all cars should have a full-size.
Absolutely. Look, I used to own a Golf FSI, which had a full-size spare wheel with a Mack wheel. Why can't all cars have that? Why can't a Volvo have that? Why can't a Beamer? You know what I mean? Mm. There must be full-size spare wheel, because then you it's less worry. Can you imagine how you drive? You have to.
But then you can't, like Chad said,
think of it. It's a balance.
It's a because you're compromising. So you've got a full spare wheel, fantastic. But then you're going to obviously lose boot space.
You're going to lose boot space. Which do you use more often? Your spare wheel or your boot?
Boot space. That's true. But look, I still have boot space in that other car. There are cars.
No. But you can have more boot space and make it more appealing to a greater audience if it's got more boot space, rather than that one wheel that you're going to use once every 3-4 years,
but
maybe.
That's convenience, bro. That's surety. Can you imagine you pulling a trailer?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got that little biscuit, so you've got so many things to worry about. I hate uncertainty. See, that's my thing.
You're towing a trailer and it does that.
Yeah,
front wheels.
No, your car actually gets it. So what, you need to start to rotate the tires around? See, that's another hour of can we just have full size spare wheels?
No, but in all honesty, the number of cars that I see that are actually incorrectly fitted with their space saver spares.
Yeah.
If it's on the, you can't put that on the drive wheels.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The exception being if you're towing or something of a sort where you know that it's going to be under excessive load, then you would put it at the front. But then you're going to be very slow. In fact, you shouldn't even tow with that tire on. Okay. So yes, this can happen. There's other ways and means around it.
So let's just unpack that quickly. So if you're driving a front wheel drive vehicle and you have a blowout on, let's say, your front left, Take the back left off,
put it on the front,
and then you put the biscuit
on the back. Yeah. It's a little more work, it's a little more PT, but...
Yeah, but you're going to...
You realize what that means. Now you've got one jack.
Yeah.
Now how's that going to work?
Jack it up, take it off. Okay, so you've got your flat wheel.
Yeah.
All right, take it off.
Yeah.
Marion. Okay, you've still got a wheel now.
Yeah, that's flat.
Okay, so you've changed it for the front wheel.
Yeah.
But it's not supposed to be there. It's only there temporarily to hold the car.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go, you jack up the back and you put the flat wheel at the back.
Yes.
Okay, take the good wheel. Down. That's a little bit of work.
But did you say a little bit? That's not a little bit of work.
No, but Chad,
do you want to do it right? Or do you want to kill yourself?
But you see, now if it comes with a full size spare wheel, you've got none of those problems.
For the one time, I drove my car for probably about 4 years without a single flat tire.
Yeah, I mean, in the case it happens, you know what I mean? I think it should just come standard, guys. Because then you've got peace of mind. You don't have to worry about swapping, rotating tires. No.
I'm going to side with you here. Because if you think about it, I mean, you know, average car, what's it, a 14, 15 inch?
15, yeah, 15, 16, 15, 16, yeah.
These days, 17. Yeah.
17 and 22 if you're in the East. That's the truth, though.
I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
I prefer a full-size spare as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, it's a lot less PT and it's a lot less headache in that. I do prefer it. But what I'm saying is I see and I understand why manufacturers...
The rationale behind it.
Yeah, the rationale behind it.
Yeah.
And why manufacturers do it. It's one of those things that's... It's like... many people argue, and talking about things in a car, a memory seat function or electric seats.
Yeah.
Do you need electric seats in your car?
No.
Not really. Yes, you can get a very, very fine, exact sort of driving position.
Yeah.
But that's also going to change whether you climb into the car in the morning or in the afternoon. Because as you've noticed, when you climb into the car in the afternoon, you're like, who's been driving my car? I can't see out the mirrors. Well, you've shrunk during the day. When you woke up, you were like a tall. And during the day, you got a little bit shorter.
I keep shrinking.
Yeah, definitely. You're only about 4.5 foot this morning.
Shut up, T. And then, sorry, Jay. Yes.
But so electric seats, because if you're the only person driving that car,
why do you need
to constantly adjust your seats?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I can understand if it's a shared vehicle in a shared household or something.
Yeah, memory one, memory two.
Memory one, memory two. Then the memory function works, or an electric adjustment
But even if you're the only one driving the car, when you take it for a car wash, they mess around with those seats all the time.
That's where I like the memory function, because then it's just number one.
Yeah, and then finish.
Ride the roller coaster.
You see,
yeah.
it's that peace of mind about the spare wheel as well. You don't have to worry about a lot of things like, who was in this car? Now, if you go, that's the only time that is convenient.
So we're saying all cars should come with full spare wheels.
Yeah, man.
Okay, and we don't really need electric seats.
No,
list here? Tinted, smash and grab.
Yeah, look, we live in South Africa, guys.
Yes.
You know, the last thing you want is either your baby being burnt in the sun, or in the case of an accident, glass shattered, it goes into your children's eyes or your wife's eyes. You know what I mean?
Sure.
If it's tinted, you got UV protection. Mm-hmm. And in the case of accident, God forbid, then that glass stays intact.
Pretty much.
You know what I mean? I think those things should just be standard. I mean, if traffic lights are 10 red all the time and it's law for you to stop, it's people's safety. You need to protect your people.
Correct, yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? I mean, that should not be, it should not be negotiable.
Should be a given.
Yeah.
Yeah. Portable fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I saw a police car on fire.
Did you stop and help?
No, they had dogs and there was too many spectators. And I figured I'm going to take the limelight because just now I'll be the one in the news.
Lies, it's like last week you were talking about a bit of a history there. You're like,
yeah, I'm not going there again. Sure, yeah. I don't want to hear those radio things going off. But I mean, you know, you get, especially for either taxis or older model cars. But even if it's not for an older model car, say you're driving past and this car is
newer
on fire.
Cars, yeah.
And you have your fire extinguisher. You can put that fire out.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I'm a little embarrassed to admit it, but I've had my car burn several times.
Really?
My own
you still have
the
it?
Same car. Okay, some of it was my
Chad,
own idiocy.
Have you ever heard of autotrader.co.za where you can actually log on and buy a car?
No, listen, my car was tidy. My car was... I was not in the position to be able to afford a new car.
Hey, but there are affordable cars on this side, trust me.
Mm.
Anyway, yes, you're saying?
And... it was some of it was just shoddy wiring on my part. Some of the incidents
on your part.
Yeah, on my part. Whether it was fitting sound, fitting its accessories, and that sort of stuff, and picking up a little bit of a short. But the one time that actually happened was the alternator had actually seized.
Sure.
Just because of the layout of the motor in that, where you fill up the oil, there's a very high chance. Doesn't sit very high, so it sits very low. So you end up having to really tilt the bottle in. And the chance of spilling near that fillet are quite high. But right beneath that sits the alternator.
Ish.
And over the years, just that little bit that spilt over, dropped onto the alternator. And then, of course, got thick and gunky. And with a little bit of sand and dusty, it became like a paste. And eventually that just had enough and that seized the alternator. So the alternator basically seized, got hot seized there. And burnt the belt, but in all of this heat that was generated, it set this oily paste on fire.
Bro, you invented a bomb.
In essence, no, but it was just because you couldn't see it because of the base of the V's, it was set right underneath the V, so it was sitting in underneath there, very cramped engine bay, and I saw the light come on, seeing that the alternator belt had come off, and I'm like, oh, I know what happens. This has happened before, you know, that the belt has come off or it's snapped. So I pulled off the side of the road. I thought, okay, I've got a couple of Ks that I can still drive on the battery alone before I get to a gas station, you know, make a repair here, find some spares or something of the sorts. And as I pulled off, now stopped on the highway, stopped on the on-ramp, and I just see the smoke coming from the bottom. I'm like, this is not good. I'm about to, and it was a Monday, I'm about to have a... terrible Monday.
Week, more like a terrible week.
Week. And I made the one mistake that nobody should ever make.
What did you do?
I opened the bonnet.
Oh, because that leads...
You don't open the bonnet. If you do happen to see smoke coming out of the bonnet, don't open it, folks. It gives it oxygen. Oxygen, fire, you just get a much bigger fire. Yeah. I made that mistake, but it was in my panicked state. Okay, I didn't have fire suppression ready, and it can be very dangerous because I don't know what's burning. Yeah. Only afterwards I found out what was burning. So I open it up, and all of a sudden, woof, starts this fire. And I'm panicking. I'm looking for some water or something. Water's the wrong thing, but I'm looking for sand or something that I can just throw over the engine. This taxi, I know I was cursing them just now. Okay?
Yes.
I was cursing them on the way in here because...
Yeah, they can up your day.
Really, really upset a bloke.
They can fry up your day.
Yeah, no, yeah. They can make your Monday less Friday.
Yeah,
and pulled up out with, because the taxis have got fire extinguishers.
Oh, they're supposed to.
They're supposed to.
Yeah.
Stopped right in front of my car. The guy jumped out, sprayed the engine bay. Hopped back in the taxi, closed the door, and disappeared. Not two words were exchanged. I wanted to thank him.
Another day in Africa for him.
Exactly. Yeah. He stopped, killed the fire, carried on driving as if this was just a passenger.
Do you know, in a Christian world, we call that Jesus.
No, there was just a bit of calm in that, and yeah, I was like massively thankful. I couldn't thank the guy. I would have thanked him, paid him, you know, taken the guy out to lunch or something of the sorts. You know, thank you. Just Jesus,
sure,
you
like,
saved me plenty.
So you see, now if you had a fire extinguisher,
if I had a fire extinguisher,
and even those little portable ones, you know,
and you know, they go for about $100-$110
Yeah,
is for one that you can keep in your car. And if you take
where
a look at a couple of
like an AA shop,
anyway, believe it or not,
AA shop, Midas has them. Yeah.
Builders. Take a look at Builders and that sort of stuff. They've got the small ones. Yeah. The small ones, you need to catch the fire early because there's really not much in them.
You can do,
but it'll start suppressing it or at least buy you a little bit of time.
Yeah.
You also get something which is called a striker, which is basically like a stick.
Yeah.
And as soon as you pull the two halves of it apart, it starts emitting.
Oh,
the,
is it?
Yeah. It's called a striker.
Okay.
Well then, well done.
See?
One on your list, bud. I agree with you totally.
The Turkish driver had the fire extinguisher.
Right. That's it, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, guys. Whoever you are, wherever you are.
Yeah. Point number four. ABS brakes.
Yeah, I mean, this is a safety
issue.
Goes
without saying,
yeah. Okay, it's a safety issue.
We're not going to debate that.
Because you need to stop, eh?
Strangely enough, some of the manufacturers are still out there trying to pass off new vehicles in South Africa without ABS. I mean, there was that big drama with Datsun releasing the Go without airbags and without ABS, and the journalists took them to town, tore them apart.
Yeah. The Tata as well, eh? That also... No, IndyCar?
I think they started without it, and then they were also forced into... You have to.
It was probably a cost issue.
It's largely a cost issue. They're trying to keep costs down and make it affordable.
And kill people more.
No, they're not looking... the last thing you want to do is kill someone. Yeah. You want to give them a good experience. You want to make them a repeat customer. Yeah. But it's just to keep costs down because there's such a demand for entry-level motoring in South Africa. It's you need to.
Hey, so ABS must be standard everywhere.
Mm,
Central locking.
Yeah, Kazi.
Nah.
Look, yes and no. Because, I mean, if you know your old conventional individual finger locking thing, that's good for your car jammers or for hijacking and yada. But now, in case of, I don't know, getting in and out of the car quickly and conveniently.
It's a convenience.
Yeah,
thing,
it's convenience, but you can do without. You know, that's probably.
A central locking or a remote locking? Central locking implying that you can open all the doors at the same time. Remote locking, I would say, possibly a little better, but that brings in the remote jamming thing. And I've been remote jammed. I've been remote jammed, and it sucks. On a brand new car. I've been remote jammed.
I had a laptop stolen, but I've been remote jammed.
Yeah, cell phone. Remote jammed. And people, it happens. Seriously, it really does happen.
I always go back and make sure that...
Now I do. I learned the lesson the hard way.
Yep,
because I thought, it's a place I know. I've never had any issues here. Never had any hassles. The car's right there where I can see it. Turn
and it happens so fast, eh?
Place an order at the fast food joint. And by the time I got home, I only realized.
Yes. So you're not quite sure even when it happened, where it happened.
Well, I can narrow it down to there. Yeah. And it would have happened there because... Yeah. The car was...
No, but what I'm saying is by the time you get back there, they're long gone.
Oh, no, they were long gone. No,
what an inconvenience.
Massive inconvenience, yeah. So,
and I stopped to go into a garage, man. I wasn't even in the shop for 3 minutes.
Yeah,
sure.
I parked my car, went into the shop, got back into my car. You actually don't know anything's missing.
Because they don't mess it up. They don't rough it up.
No, they open up. And I saw the laptop, I saw my laptop was missing. But I thought, no, man, maybe I put it in the boot, jump in the car, and I drove. And I got home.
Not
in the boot. All the way back to the garage, CCTV footage. Oh,
did you manage to see it on CCTV?
No.
Not.
Mm-mm. No. I'd parked and I wasn't aware, but where I'd parked, it wasn't...
It was blanked off, And it was the same with me as well, hey? It was the same, just where I happened to park. So, and that's the thing. I think they almost got an idea of this. It wouldn't surprise me if they have an idea of this as to where the cameras are picking up and where they aren't. And if you park in that spot, you're possibly a potential...
Look,
you know, a potential...
Sometimes I don't care. I mean, there's a video where I see at a filling station. I think we should try and load it up. This during the day, must have been like after 11 in the morning, this car pulls a decent-looking Golf 6-ish, I think, drives up.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's two other passengers in the car on the other side of the tank. These guys gradually go into this car and they start opening the door and they rob them, eh? Petrol attendants are moving past. So it looks like these guys are having a chat.
Yeah.
And they get into their car and they drive off. And you've just been robbed. I mean, what do you do when you have a firearm? And then,
It's sad, eh? It's actually sad that you have to live like that. Anyway.
Now, I could see how they open the doors easily, man. If it was all central locked, then they would try to open it first. And then you become alert as a driver.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if your doors... I don't know, man. I don't know. That's why I figure central locking should also
be pretty cool. Imagine if So you've parked your car.
Yeah.
And you got your keys in your pocket.
Yeah.
You know how your cell phone vibrates?
Yeah.
Imagine if somebody touches your car doors and it can send a signal to your
keys.
Wow. And they vibrate in your pocket. So you know that there's an issue now.
Mm. I'm watching this one and you've got the petrol attendant that's just standing there watching this happen.
But if you were a petrol attendant and they had a firearm, the only thing you can do is to move away and make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Because you might just get shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't believe we have to spend so much time and energy on crime, like on crime preventative strategies. The country must just work, man.
Exactly. Okay, well, let's get on to your next point there. Power windows. What are those?
Ah, Chief, can you imagine? Have you ever had to lean over and...
and wind up the window on the other side while you're trying to drive?
That is so inconvenient.
No, electric windows, yes.
Yeah, no, those... Look, or maybe you've been parked in the sun. And as you can, you just drop all the windows to let all the hot air out quickly. It's convenient. And other than having to lean over, because it's also a risk. When they see you leaning over and winding this, you're always distracted by the temperature and by the windows.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's convenient.
Yeah, electric windows. I would say, that's a nice... It's not a necessity.
Yeah.
It's not a necessity.
But it's a nice to
have. I would actually put an aircon over power windows.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think an aircon is just a little more beneficial in and a little more convenient more often than what electric windows are.
Yeah.
And especially if you've got that aircon, because that aircon is now going to, I mean, in terms of demisting in the rain and that sort of thing, I like, an aircon works beautifully instead of just trying to crack a window a little bit open when it's raining, because the aircon doesn't work. I've been in that. I've been in old cars where it didn't have aircons in that, you know? I'm talking about cars from the 80s and the aircon was a luxury. It just had a fan.
My first car was a Beetle. And, you know,
well, yeah. No,
just drive one of those when they're hot.
With one of those little heaters that you open the fan.
That was the best thing, coming out of a nightclub and opening up all that heat that came straight out of the engine into the car.
And you know, that was strange because the Beetle was fantastic for that very reason. Because it ran the heater core straight off the exhaust. Yeah. So you almost had instant heat. A lot of other vehicles, or most of other vehicles, run it off the radiator. Mm-hmm. So the cooling system. Yes. And it takes a little while for that water to heat up.
The Beetle,
but with the Beetle, instant up, boop, straight off the exhaust. Boom.
Yeah, that's when you need the heat. And when you need the coolness, it's a big problem.
Then you have to open your other window.
Lean over and wind.
No, then the little quarter windows.
Little triangle, yeah.
And those worked so great
because you could direct the air onto your body.
Or away from you, and it would just suck out all of the hot air in that.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be cool and breezy, but you'd just get the hot air out. And in terms of demisting the windows and that, they actually worked quite well.
No,
but
like a little cause,
as the design changed and they lost cars lost their quarter windows, so they now needed to figure out how to keep up this.
I suppose it was unnecessary for the quarter windows now that you've got these vents inside the car.
Yeah.
And with the dashboard, you've got to remember, the Beetle didn't have much of a dashboard.
Yeah.
The super bug had a bit of a dashboard there with that half-inch styrofoam maneuver that runs across there. But, you know, the older Beetles were just boom, panels.
So electric windows?
Electric windows, more convenient than a necessity.
Standard. I agree.
I would say aircon a little more.
Is that what you're thinking? That when you fart quickly, you need to open the window?
No, when you need to lock somebody in, lock them.
Anyway,
you're stuck with me now.
Lastly, the footstoots deal on vehicle purchasing should be reviewed with stricter rules. Yeah, you say that. Yeah.
Look, you know what? Some people are first-time buyers, and then you're going to purchase this thing. It looks nicely painted, and meanwhile the floor is almost rotten. You know what I mean? This car is about to pick up anytime soon. Yes, the buyer should be more learned and more careful, and yada yada yada. That's why you should get reputable buying car dealerships, but. I mean, I think because the poor old will want to drive that car.
Not everybody has the financial access to be able to spend, let's say, the 400 or 500 rand that it costs. I mean, that's a fair amount of money. Yeah. You can do a lot with 500 rand to go and take it through an inspection or something of the sorts, you know.
But then you already bought it. If I'm selling a car that's quite dodgy, I'm not going to take it for a roadworthy for you.
But the buyer can request that.
Yeah.
The buyer can request that. It needs to go for an AA, what is it, a 100-point check, you know. The buyer can request that it goes for that and pay for it. And it's on the buyer to pay for it, or potential buyer to pay for it. But not everybody's afforded that luxury. I mean, and there's a lot of people. I mean, I've been taken for a ride before by a dealership as well. Okay, granted, it was pre-CPA.
Mm.
So that really, really screwed me. But in any case, another story another day. But I think we could lament this for for hours on end.
Yeah.
Because if I sit there with a car that does have a small little niggle, it's got a cracked windscreen, a chipped windscreen. Okay. And I don't disclose that, and the person buys, and then they spot, oh, wait, but there's a chip on this windscreen. And let's say it's a difficult windscreen to get hold of, or a 7,000 rand windscreen on a 20,000 rand car,
yeah,
you know. Then I'm sitting there, and I'm like, well, what's the point of me even selling it? It's not broken. It still works. It's just a chip, you know. And here it's
you can
totally,
spend 250 to lock the chip for, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's so, I think there's it's a massive, massive, you know, pit that you could climb into there. I do agree that, yes, there should be a slightly better approach to it. But I think this is pretty much as close as we're going to get it in terms of, you know, Consumer Protection Acts, yeah, if that even covers you in terms of a private deal. I'm actually not even sure anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't check. Like I said, the last time I bought was pre-CPA, so that's A, giving my age away.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know what, like, I think that's why people gravitate to buying cars from dealerships,
yeah,
because you kind of got more, yeah, better recourse, I think, if something goes wrong.
Yeah, and they're inclined to do the paperwork.
Yes.
You know what the strange thing is? I've bought vehicles privately.
Yeah.
And had less issues than when I bought from a dealership.
Really?
Yeah.
What does the paperwork consist of? Is it a
like change of ownership?
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Is the car roadworthy?
Like,
you
know, yeah. I think a lot of people
has it been through a couple of accidents? Is it, what code is it? And
well, I mean, that should
is it a legal for car? Is
that should all be listed.
Yeah,
on
you
the,
can check all of that stuff as well.
Yeah. I mean, the simplest way is basically just change of ownership and an application to register vehicle.
Okay.
Or what is it? AR or vehicle license application, RLA, I think it is, something of the sorts. I actually have, believe it or not, I actually still have the documents here from the last one. NCO, I mean, notice change of application and notice. There's the ANR.
Anyway, but it's not laborious. Yeah. It's not a long process, is it?
Listen, it's laborious.
It can be, but yeah. I know we came in whinging about taxis and traffic and all kinds of stuff here.
Yeah.
Just 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I went and that vehicle that I bought from a dealership that ended up proper dodgy,
mm-hmm,
I know proper dodgy and that I've lost plenty of money on,
sure,
is paid off. Okay? So I'm finished paying the bank. Okay? So it is technically mine. So I went to go and get the car put in my name now. And I thought, take the whole day to do this because you know what it's like at the licensing department.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pillar to post, et cetera, et cetera. Granted, yeah, I had a couple of forms left over from another car that I registered. So I filled in a couple of them and just, you know, made sure that I sort of had a rough idea. I had my ID with me, had like proof of residence and that sort of stuff. And I went to the Randburg, and I'm going to mention it, the Randburg licensing department there, Bromfisher,
yeah, yeah,
area. And I went in there 15 minutes.
You were in and out?
15 minutes in and out. It took me longer to find parking than what it did. And that's dealing with 3 people, including a change of address. I went into the information desk. He grabbed the papers. Okay, what are you doing here? I'm like, no, I'm just licensing. Car's paid off. I'm just putting it in my name. Okay, great. He took a look. Okay, you got the right form. Here we go. Check, check. Ooh, you forgot to sign there. Just went over it. All right, that's great. Fantastic. Please take it to that window over there. They'll give you a number. Went and checked it. The guy grabbed my ID, went and made a photocopy of my ID, waiting, checked it, gave me a number 26. I went and he's, okay, just go and sit in the queue over there. Sat there, were like 4 or 5 people there, and checked, and they're like, no, we're actually just waiting for something else. The queue's just in front. One person in front of me. I thought, okay, well, cool. I'm just quickly going to send a text. This is going quite quick. I've got some time to check Facebook, whatever. I hadn't even finished typing the text, a one-line text, and the guy next to me tapped me and said, the guy at the window's calling
you.
Wow. I went up, Vusi was there, and he just went through the whole process. He said, oh, it's going to be a little bit expensive, X, Y, and Z. I said, no, that's not a problem. I understand, X, Y, and Z. And he went through all of it, great stuff. And he says, okay, that's not a problem. And I asked him, listen, now do I need to go and register this where I live? Because I don't live in Randburg anymore. And he's like, well, yes, you'd need to renew it there. But if you ever need to, come back to us and we'll be able to do it for you as
fantastic.
Well.
It's amazing what you can achieve when you're dealing with somebody who's efficient.
He's got a lot of good karma, Ham. You got a fantastic driver pulling
karma.
Up. Karma, ne?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey? Have a look a day, and within 15 minutes, in and out, I was mind blown. Like I said, it took me longer to find parking.
You planned for the whole day's event, with the lunchbox and all.
I was pricked. I went to the bathroom before I went to that place. I packed comfy shoes. I had a pillow with me.
Anyway, we're going to continue this conversation off air while we go to an ad break, and then a song by John Butler Trio, Better Than, and we'll catch you after this.
Whatever your term of endearment for your prize ride,
four banger, four by, barge, beamer, beater, benz, big rig, bike, breezer, chori, chopper, clanker, crotch rocket, genka, gator cruiser, hog, hobdy, hypermiler, jalopy, junker, combi, lambo, land barge, pimpmobile, pocket rocket, bottle jumper, render rock scoot, shagging wagon, shitbox, sled, tank, warrant wagon, whoopee!
There's only one place to visit if you're looking to buy a new vehicle. Autotrader.co.za. With simple navigation and over 62,000 cars to choose from, it's a no-brainer. Visit autotrader.co.za today and find your next set of wheels.
Car news and reviews on Auto Central.
Right, we're back.
Why couldn't you have played Ocean by John Butler Trio? Or is it because we don't have the time for that?
We don't have the time for that now. That's a long one, isn't it?
You know what? You should have actually...
Come on, Ocean's beautiful.
Chad would be in a better mood. I mean, he was cut in this morning.
He came in, he looked a bit steaming. There was a bit of steam coming off his shoulders there. And I'll tell you why, because we were talking about it. And like I said, I took a car to work this morning. And... I just don't get why people have to drive in the bloody emergency lane. Yeah. There's no emergency. All you're doing is cocking up the traffic for everybody else on the road. Yeah. You inconsiderate pig. That's what you are. Yeah. Finished.
That's what gets to me. And I mean, I mentioned it to you as well. Was just the way that they're pushing in, heading across an intersection. And now I don't mind letting somebody that's sitting, if I have the right of way and it's backed up, you know, I don't have a stop street or anything of the sorts, and there's a side road coming out, and I can see that they lined up and they've got to stop in that. And we're going, I don't mind slowing down and letting
quickly,
a person
because the traffic flows in
it's
the other
help on, yeah, it's going to help on their side. Yeah. And you know what? It's not going to put me out of my way. But when there's a taxi, and I'm not going to dance around the subject because it's the taxis that do it, and they come barreling up what is essentially the wrong way down that road.
And he must make a left in the front there. And hey? He cuts from the right.
And then he wants to cut and use the same gap and then push in. I mean, I was almost in an accident. I had another one trying to bribe his way in on the gap. I'm sorry, but it screams to me that you think that your time is more important than mine.
Driver's licenses. People do not have legal driver's licenses. No, I can tell you something.
Even if they do, there's no recourse for this sort of behavior. Mm. If there was recourse for this sort of behavior, pull you off there, and I'm now going to detain you. For 6-8 hours, your workday's shot.
Yeah.
You can explain to your boss why you're out of income.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not going to fine you because you're just going to have it squashed or something. I'm going to detain you for 8 hours.
Detention. Actually, like detention.
Because then you remember it, eh?
Yeah, well, you won't stuff it up again, will you?
You want to lose out on your days, on all your trips and that. I'm going to detain you. You want to be late for all your meetings. You want to have to explain to your boss.
I saw a Discovery 4 on the emergency lane, brah.
Just cruising.
That's
I saw RDs. I saw BMs this morning. I saw
I need to ask, was it actually moving?
Yeah, it was.
Because it's a usual place, emergency lane for discoveries.
Oh! There we go. On that note, Chad, what are we reviewing today? You obviously gave it to me in the showrunner. Tell us about the little adventure that you went on.
Actually, it doesn't do that. It just goes...
Can you guess what it is? What car makes that noise?
No, there's no car that makes that noise.
Well, I'm on this... People are going to look at me really weird because it seems that I'm not a petrol head. I am. I'm a massive petrol head, okay? Yeah. People, I love cars, and I love engines, and I love the mechanical aspects
of it. Here comes a
bit
bad, hey?
But I'm embracing...
Listen.
No. I can't deny that I'm embracing and fascinated by hybrid technology. Yeah.
Really?
I do believe it is the way forward. I think it's a fantastic changeover.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to shun it. I'm not one of those hardcore, staunch...
petrol heads.
Left-wing petrol heads. Oh, it's 99 octane or nothing at all.
Yeah.
No, it's I love driving. And if you put me in an electric car...
What the hell was that?
I don't even want to know.
Sorry. Carry on, petrol car.
whether it's burning... Okay, I'm not a fan of diesels, but they're getting better.
Yeah.
But I can understand the power that can be made from the fuel source. Fossil fuel motors or hybrid motors or... anything of the sorts. I love driving. So, I'm not going to shun hybrid either. I'm not going to shun electric. I find it fascinating and I love technology and I love the way that we can combine all of these things so that, you know, we can drive.
Yeah, exactly.
So, The review is on the new Toyota Prius.
Fantastic.
Okay. Now, the new the Prius as a whole has a bad rap.
Does it have a full-size spare wheel?
I don't know because I didn't need to check.
Yeah.
Because in all my journeys, I didn't get a flat tire.
You lucky dude. Even he's never had a flat tire.
So it didn't sound like this, huh?
No, definitely does not sound like that.
Just checking.
You don't want to start me, Tia.
No, but the Prius...
Tell us about the Prius.
This is a second generation Prius, so it looks a lot better than the old one. I'm sorry, the old Prius got a lot of flack. It wasn't particularly prettily styled. I understand why they styled it that way, but I still think they're full of it because it was designed for aerodynamics and a low rolling resistance, you know.
There are better looking cars with aerodynamics.
Formula One looks better. It may not be the most practical, but...
This looks better.
There we go, you know. Hurricanes and the likes,
I drove alongside Hurricanes last week.
Did you drive?
Oh, no, I drove alongside. And then we...
So it's got the most dodgiest dash cam camcorder ever in the history of camcorders.
Listen to this, Mchan. Sorry, Chad. But, I mean, it was 4 Lamborghinis on William Nicole.
That sounds like a Prius.
No, wait.
Were you holding your cell phone while you were filming those cars?
Does that sound like a Prius?
Huh? Were you? Were you holding your phone? Were you driving and holding your phone?
I'm a multitasker, dude.
Yeah.
I must get a GoPro, ne?
Well, just a cradle mount for the phone.
Yes.
That's all you need. It's just a suction cup cradle mount for the phone. No, it does sound pretty.
No, they
do sound good. I'm not going to take anything away after last week's conversation.
All right.
But the new Prius... Much better in terms of its design. It's been pulled and tweaked. It looks a little... There's a little bit of Auris in it. There's a cup. You can see it's a Toyota. It's still got a very strange shape. It's really a little futuristic in that, but it's not completely left field. It's not offensive. I quite like the styling of it, but it wasn't exactly memorable either.
No, sure.
Let's put it that way. The interior, though. Interior, quite a change, eh? Where many manufacturers are going with piano black trim interiors. They went with what I'd like to maybe call an appliance white.
Mm-hmm.
It was the opposite.
appliance white.
Piano black, appliance white. I'm going to go with that. Areas just below the infotainment system, the air controls and that, which houses the, believe it or not, the gear knob, because it's an auto. And it's just got this little, almost tulip sort of shaped blue crystal type thing that you just move into drive mode. Oh. Very, very simple. And then a big white tray that almost looks like a bathroom sink sitting in there. And it really does. It looks like it was bathroom fittings that were in there. But it's only because we're not accustomed to seeing white fittings in a car.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm not going to knock that. I'm going to give it a chance.
What is it for?
It's difference. You basically like your center console and that. Instead of it having grey plastic or black plastic, this is white.
Hmm.
Okay, so, well, let me pull up.
Because then it's easy.
Is that one over there?
No, that's the old one. That's the old one. Sis, Blabberdy Ace.
Blabberdy Ace. But you see, if it's white, it's easy to find stuff in there. I mean,
if
you drive at night in your cell phone, you can spot it because most cell phones are black.
It gives it a futuristic sort of iRobot sort of vibe to it, which really isn't bad. I mean, this is a tiny picture that I've got here of it. But it grew on me.
Does it have that matte gripping?
No.
Does it have that matte gripping thing?
2016 Toyota Prius.
What did you type in?
I don't know what he's found.
2012.
I put 2015 in there. Sorry.
No, 2015 ain't going to help.
Blame it, Ace. It does.
It looks like a sink. Look at that.
Yeah. You see, so it's got these white pieces and a white on the steering wheel and that. And
Is it going to get dirty, though? If you've got kids.
Because it's at high gloss.
Yes.
Wipes off clean. So it's like a...
So it's like an appliance.
Yeah,
so like,
then exactly. Appliance white.
Yeah.
So then... But then that makes it slippery, Miss. So yeah, stuff is going to be flying around everywhere.
It does a little bit, yeah.
Oh, dear.
If you've got a rubber case on your phone, not the end of the world, and it's not flying off and out of it.
Keys. But
you can put keys there and that. There's other storage compartments as well, so you don't really need to worry about it.
Oh,
but
okay.
A good amount of space and very, very quiet inside.
Oh, well, I mean, it's hybrid.
But in terms of
wind
and road noise and that, very, very quiet.
Oh, wow.
I was very, very surprised with
that. What reduces wind noise? Is it the thickness of windows or
insulating?
Insulating.
The build, the
aerodynamics.
The aerodynamics, the panel gaps.
Yeah.
the wing mirrors are a big cause of it. Eh?
Hmm.
So you often get that little bit of rush, that rush from the wing mirrors. This one, you still pick it up slightly. That's probably the only place that you really pick it up from. Or if you're on a rough surface, then you pick up a little bit of road noise from the tires. But other than that, and it was the one thing that I really, really was surprised by, and it blew me away, was how aerodynamic this car is.
Hmm.
You drive a long road fairly often, and you've passed trucks, whether they're coming in the opposite direction or you're going past them. And, you know, you get that sort of wind shear.
Yeah, they let buffeting. You know, hey, I'm here, bud. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. As they come past, you get that.
Yeah.
You won't believe how little of that you get in a Prius.
Wow.
Straight away, they come past, and you just feel this little tug on the steering wheel. It doesn't blow the car off course. That said, to me, this thing is super slippery, super aerodynamic, because I hardly felt that vehicle come past me, and I should be feeling this buffeting. And this wind just cuts straight over the car.
Wow. Sure.
So that, for me, showed me that it was nice and aerodynamic. But in any case, what we tried to do here, and we've split the video over two parts.
Yeah.
So the first part is just running through what the Prius is a little bit about. The second part is when things come down to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
Now, it's got a bit of a bad rap, as I say in the video, because of all the celebrities and that sort of stuff that drive them, and people rag on them, and it's not a proper car. I mean, you know, we all know the jokes from Jeff Dunham and that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. you know.
Prius.
But
please.
We really, really like this one, and we wanted to see now, is it better, and how far could we drive on the tank? Now, this isn't a Prius isn't a plug-in hybrid like we had with the BMW X5 while ago. Yeah. So you can't plug this in and charge the batteries. There's no way to charge the batteries except by driving the
vehicle,
car.
Okay.
You drive the car with its petrol and it charges the batteries. Then, in town, where a normal car is actually quite heavy on juice, you know, that stop-start, not doing anything but the engine's running.
Yeah.
That's where the Prius is its lightest.
And does it engage itself or do you engage the
It engages the itself.
Oh, it does. Okay.
It does it
okay.
all on its own. You can put it into
That's
full.
Impressive.
You can put it into full EV mode, electric vehicle mode.
Yeah.
But you leave it in the auto or economy, and it's going to decide for you.
Mm.
So up to a certain speed, I think it's about 60 k's an hour, it can run in full electric mode and part throttle.
Yeah.
No, very. sorry, a very very light throttle.
Yeah.
Then it'll run full electric, and then when you stop, it switches everything off. Not every like your radio and that, but it just switches all motor systems off. So the petrol motor, the 1.8 litre petrol motor. Isn't
1.8, that's pretty.
Yeah, don't get excited. It couldn't pull the skin off a rice pudding. It's got 90 kilowatts and 142 newton meters. 142 newton meters. You're not towing a mini fan. You're not towing a golf cart with that, okay? And I'm not even talking about a golf car, you know, electric golf car. Talking about golf car, just the golf clubs.
Mm.
You're not towing that with it. It's really going to suckle to pull that. But it's not to say that it's bad. It's great for commuting. It's great for traveling. And we took this on a long drive.
But I thought it would have that kind of power. I mean, if the wind, the aerodynamism is quite cool, and the economy, how to run the whole fuel business, I think it would be meant for long distance. Now, if it can't pull a golf cart, then what's the point when you want to pull a trailer and load your...
No, you don't.
Yeah, but you're going to put a trailer with this kind of car, though. Yeah.
This is your Monday to Friday, I'm driving to work.
So 1.8, bro.
This isn't for long driving.
Yeah.
That's the bit that gets, and that what confuses people, is that the long open road is worse for a Prius than driving in town. And that's what we found out, is that driving in and around town, yes, sometimes we'll run on full electric, and it'll be super light. And they claim figures of 3.8. Here we go. 3.7. Oh, I've got 3.7 here.
Oh, okay.
3.7 litres per 100 is what they claim. You're not quite going to get there unless you're very light-footed and in town. As soon as you hit the open road and you're doing 120, you're using both motors, or you're just using the petrol motor.
Mm-hmm.
And there you're going to return figures, still good, but of about 5 litres per 100. That's at 120 kilometres an hour. So, now...
Still good, though.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Now, despite this, we wanted to find out still how far can we get on a tank. Because now if you hit a downhill, then the electric motor helps.
Yes.
So, we drove all the way down to Port Shepston.
Yes.
Had a lekker little weekend in Port Shepston. We still had fuel in, okay? Because we didn't drive around Port Shepston too much. Got to the resort and just pretty much blommed there for a day. And then... came out, did a couple of shots in the area, and then came back. And then we drove back. And that video is going to be dropping. I don't think I want to give it away.
Yes.
But
okay.
We predicted where we were going to stop on the way back. And we wanted to find out what happens to a Prius when you run out of fuel.
Yeah.
So we drove and we drove and we drove. And we drove to a point where we thought we would stop.
And you didn't.
And we didn't.
Oh, wow.
And you'll be disturbed. surprised to realize how much further than our estimated and how where the car basically told us. Because naturally we climbed in the car and the car said on day two we had 200 kilometers roughly.
Yeah.
And we thought, okay, well, 200 kilometers, realistically, or 100 and something it was, is maybe going to get us back to Durban. You know, maybe not.
Mm.
And yeah.
It got you past Durban.
We thought it was going to stop at the, to be honest, we thought it was going to stop there by the Toyota plant, the old airport on the N2.
Yeah. Yeah.
We thought it was going to stop over there. That was sort of where our guesstimations were. And cruised straight
back. Oh, wow.
So go and watch the video when it drops, and you guys can see where Chad and them landed up. And I'm sure there's people who, if you're driving in Durban right now and you're on one of those roads, you might even see the sign that these guys planted on the side of the road that said,
we planted a sign
that said, the Prius stopped here.
Oh, wow.
The Prius stopped here. Yeah. Sign on the side. If you've seen that sign, I'm not going to tell you on which road because that's just giving away how far we made it.
Yeah.
If you've seen that sign on the side of the road, if it is still there, I highly doubt it's still there, but because the traffic department has probably come along and
removed it
out. It's not a route sign. They must leave it there, man. It's beautiful for Toyota.
No, it's not. But if you ever did take a photo of that or saw it, please do tweet us. Get in and let us know about it. Yeah. We want to know if anybody saw
that. At AutoTrader SA, huh?
At AutoTrader SA.
Hashtag AutoCentral, yeah.
Hashtag AutoCentral.
The Prius stopped here.
The Prius stopped here. I kid you not. It was the Prius stopped here.
So it was a pretty ride after all.
The ride was not bad. It was not one that I would complain about. It was pretty comfortable. The car's fairly spacious. Boot space, not all that.
Does it have a full-size spare wheel?
I don't know. I'm looking here, man. Let me check. Like I said, I don't...
But it's got ABS. It's got pasted. It's got aircon. ABS, it's got electric windows. It's got no fire extinguisher, but it's got a full... We don't know about a full-size spare.
Anyway, guys, we're going to end that conversation there. We need to talk tech. Shortest break in the history. Here it goes again.
Here we go. One, two, three.
Talking tech on Auto Central.
Lovely. We're done. Chad, you sent me an article during the week and said we could use it as content for the show. And I couldn't agree more. And I've watched the video, I've had a look, and I still don't understand why these guys do it. When they make a new vehicle and they prototype it and they put it onto the road, they wrap it in what I could only term camouflage, like a black and white kind of print that makes it hard for the eye to see the lines and what kind of car it is. I've never seen one in real life because I don't think they do that in this country, but obviously they do it all over Europe.
Yeah, they do it all over the place. You haven't seen where the cars...
I've seen some couple of BMWs at an N4 Petropod. I don't know where they were driving to. But with foreign number plates.
N4.
Yeah.
Up top. Probably Geritech.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Because you'll be surprised how many foreign cars in and out of Geritech. Please do carry on.
So pretty much Ford now have designed an optical illusion.
It 3D brick camouflage.
Yeah, there we go. 3D brick camouflage.
So have you got an optical illusion that makes it difficult to focus on the prototype cars hidden beneath. Designed to deceive industry spies hoping to catch a glimpse of new cars being tested on public roads, these designs create an optical illusion, making it extremely hard for eyes to focus on the outlines.
Mm.
The 3D brick camouflage uses thousands of seemingly randomly placed black and grey-white cylinders. Black, grey and white cylinders in a chaotic crisscross pattern. This makes it especially difficult to discern new exterior features in sunlight, whether seen in person or on the millions of photographs and selfies that are posted on the internet.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we've seen them. We've seen all these spy photos.
Mm.
Oh, the next 3 series, X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
I do understand why they do that. Because certain design cues... manufacturers want to be pioneers and they want to lead, and they don't want certain things to leak because with the amount of copying, and I'm going to come straight out, I'm going to say it. Companies like Landwind, all right, they're known for copying designs.
Yes,
I mean it's Landwind on the top. It's called the X5. They're being sued or there's court cases in that because they used X5. How unoriginal! And then the thing looks like a Range Rover Evoque.
Landwind.
And called it Landwind.
That is shocking. I mean,
there is not an original bone in their bodies.
No.
Okay.
Land.
Hey, you need people like that to keep you on your. Otherwise, you wouldn't have this optical illusion, this brick optical illusion. What?
You know, the thing is though, you see the photograph of the vehicle, but they always tell you what it is.
Yeah.
But they're obviously hiding specific design cues in terms of lines and stuff.
No,
like
they won't
that.
Tell you what it is. They just go out and they test it because the testing process of a car takes a while.
Yeah.
So they're testing the new suspension, the new chassis, or maybe new motors, something. something of the sorts, and they're putting vaguely similar body shape on it just so that it replicates down forces and the likes. And then they go out and they test it, and they need to test it in altitudes, they need to test it in all sorts of conditions to see what it handles like before they can continue with the next step.
Yeah.
But as soon as it gets photographed, and with the internet, thank you, the internet,
yeah,
sending it around there, it kills the attention, or there's a lot of negativity around it because they haven't seen the final version.
Yes, true. Yeah.
And that's what the manufacturers don't want. They don't want you seeing it before it's finished.
Yeah. Okay.
When
because
it's finished,
after the test,
then
you must go back and be read. Maybe things must be tweaked
maybe
here
they
and
need
there.
To change it. Yeah.
And that's quite a process. Whereas the other ones are busy copying Funach.
Yeah.
Land wind.
Do a search for the Landwind X5 and tell me what it looks like.
I'm actually going to look for it right now quickly.
That's a whole topic for another day, but I understand why they need to camouflage these vehicles, and it's for that reason. They're not out there testing the body shape. They're not trying to gauge public reaction on do you think our car looks pretty or not. You know, when they're doing that, then they're going to show it, and they're going to show it at the reveal at one of the big motor shows.
So that's the research stage.
They're still in research stage, but they need to go out there. But because of the internet and because privacy basically doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Have you found it there?
Yeah.
From the ox to the ass, yeah.
Jesus. I mean, it looks like a semi-decent car, but you just know it's like a complete rip-off of everything else that's out there.
You've got to be careful. They're going to start, they may just start a lawsuit against us for defamation of their vehicle.
But this is all self-opinion, so it's okay.
They'll be quite impressed that we're opinionated enough to tell them what we think.
So anyway,
mentioned them on the show.
So the tech side of that thing is that Ford have obviously spent a lot of money, got some kind of high, qualified designer in there to design this wrap that almost creates an optical illusion when seen by either a camera or the naked eye. So it makes it hard to actually see what the vehicle looks like. I mean, I've watched the video and you can kind of see the outline, the shape of the car. But I'm sure there's certain design cues that you wouldn't be able to pick up.
Maybe if the car's
wrapped. I'll tell you what, I'm going to find a copy of that.
Yeah.
Although we'll find a picture of it in use.
Okay.
And I think we'll post it up on Twitter and that, and see if you can identify what's underneath it, or let's see if we can change something about that. We don't have it prepped yet.
No, but
just
we'll
to give you guys
done.
An idea of what it is. Yeah. So that you can take a look for it.
Well, listen, guys, on that note, unfortunately, the hour is up. It's been another fantastic show. Thanks for tuning in. If you've listened live, if you haven't done, you're downloading the podcast, thank you very much. Guys, get to Kyle Army this weekend. It is going to be fantastic.
Lit.
I am excited.
It's going to be lit.
As someone who's never been to a motorsports event, I'm actually very, very excited. Having experienced cars on Kyle Army at the SA Festival of Motoring, I can tell you now it's going to be a cracker of a day. On Friday, they're probably doing testing. Saturday will be a big day, and so will Sunday. So I really, really think it's... Get there early. Take your sunblock.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Make sure there'll be food and drinks and stuff
because
on sale.
DSTV Eats or something, festival or something like that?
Last weekend.
And yeah, there was chaos at the gate trying to get in.
It was free, wasn't it?
Not sure, but the thing is, if there are the numbers there, you really do need to make sure or just plan for a little bit of a queue and a wait.
Yeah.
Get there early or be prepared to sit.
Some time with Dennis last week is they've actually turned the inside roads of Kyle Army, not the track itself, but the arterial roads on the access roads. They've turned it into kind of one way. So you're not going to have traffic backwards and forwards.
All
the traffic's going to flow. It's going to make life.
But if you miss your entrance, you're lost. You must go
all the way around.
Drive all the way around.
So planning is good.
Anyway, guys, thanks
for Olifantsfontein.
Yeah, thanks very much for tuning in. Auto Central, Motoring's biggest power hour, brought to you by Auto Trader, your trusted motoring marketplace.
CliffCentral.com.